Unit 2, Pluralism, Meaning and Growth, page 23. Structure 2.0, Objectives 2.1, Introduction 2.2, Sovereignty, A Brief History 2.3, Sovereignty, Various Theories 2.4, Pluralism, Meaning and Growth 2.5, Lasky's View on Pluralism 2.6, MacIver's View on Pluralism 2.7, Let Us Sum Up 2.8, Keywords 2.9, Some Useful Books 2.10, Answers to Check Your Progress Page 24 2.0, Objectives. This lesson is written to let you understand the importance of classical theories like pluralism in an age where multicultural societies are increasingly becoming a reality, raising debates about the absoluteness of the sovereign power of the state as a myth. In this lesson, you are expected to understand the importance of pluralism, its meaning, and growth. At the end of this lesson, you will be able to understand the importance of sovereignty, its various theories and different viewpoints about pluralism. 2.1. Introduction. Today's states are sovereign states. According to the legal notion of the state, sovereignty is one of the essential elements of the state, and it is possession of sovereignty which distinguishes the state from other human institutions. The word sovereignty is derived from the word supernus, which means supreme. There is not much controversy about the definition of sovereignty among the Western political thinkers. In its essentials, it is the supreme power in the society, an absolute power which is above all individuals, groups, classes, class interests, and institutions, a power which controls and regulates all of them. In contemporary society, this supreme power is possessed by the state. Many political thinkers have defined the term sovereignty. According to Bodin, it is the supreme power over citizens and subjects, unrestrained by law. According to Grotius, sovereignty is the supreme political power. Thus, this concept of sovereignty for a long time reigned supreme until it was challenged. The details of this can be read in the following paragraphs. 2.2. Sovereignty, A Brief History. The notion of sovereignty as the supreme power on a definite territory is modern, and its emergence is connected with the rise of modern nation-state. It does not, however, mean that the ancient and medieval ages were unaware of the idea of sovereignty. What is important is that the particular sense in which sovereignty is used was never re-emphasized in the past, even though the modern notion has its roots in the past. Page 25. The Greeks had their self-sufficient communities and had not only the supreme authority of the king, but also that of the whole community. They talked of laws as their master. The classification of the constitutions by Aristotle was based upon the supreme authority in the hands of one, few, or many. During the Roman period, the people were regarded as the supreme authority willed them to do so. But the immediate roots of sovereignty are in the medieval period and feudal system. The sovereign was synonymous with the final and finality of authority. With the dawn of modern nation-states, when the power of the feudal lords was broken, the kings became sovereign. Similarly, we also find the glimpses of sovereignty in the religious hierarchies of Middle Ages. According to Lord Bryce, the chiefs of the religious monasteries were also called sovereign. Along with the rise of the supreme power of the Pope, there also emerged the idea of the supreme power of the king. When the popes were all-powerful, the authority of the king became merely its shadow. Thus, the growth of sovereignty is mainly in the medieval period in the West, subject to the kind of society that existed. 2.3. Sovereignty, Various Theories. One of the most important features of sovereignty is its ability to appeal to different senses differently. As a result, it was not only defined variously, but also was given different nomenclature to explain the contents of such a concept. Hence the following. Legal sovereignty. The legal view of sovereignty was propounded by Bodin and Hobbes and was developed by Bentham and Austin. During the 16th century, Bodin found in the monarch of France an absolutism to which the people could look for protection and who was a means and source of unity of the French state. He was seen as the author and dispenser of law. Bodin made use of these tendencies of the period and developed a theory of sovereignty as the supreme power over citizens and the subjects unrestrained by law. It was absolute, the source of law, but not bound by it. It was sovereignty, to him perpetual, indivisible, and indestructible. However, though above law, Bodin did not consider the sovereign as above all laws. He was still subjected to the laws of God, laws of nature, and that of nations. Bodin thus recognized certain limitations to the sovereign. Page 26. Thomas Hobbes, on the other hand, made the most logical and comprehensive exposition of sovereignty in which there was no place for ethics. In this social contract, the sovereign is not a party to the contract, and the individuals give all their power unconditionally to the former. The sovereign is made not only absolute, but also irresponsible, not bound by any law, human or divine. His will is law because he, in his person, represents the people also. According to Hobbes, the sovereign power is essentially in every state. It is indivisible and unlimited and illimitable. This is because without sovereign, there would be no order or government. After Hobbes, the concept of sovereignty was interpreted according to time and circumstances until it was given concrete shape by Bentham. Bentham defined sovereignty in terms of supreme lawmaking power. He emphasized that the source of law is not natural law, but sovereign. The perfect theory of legal sovereignty was formulated by John Austin, 1832. In his book, Lectures on Jurisprudence, he writes, "If a determined human superior, not in the habit of obedience to a like superior, receives habitual obedience from the bulk of society, then that determines human superior is sovereign, and that society, including the human superior, is political and independent. Law is the command of the sovereign, a command given by a superior to an inferior. All members of the society are dependent upon him. Sovereign is the maker of all direct and indirect laws." In short, Austin's theory has threefold implications. A. State is a legal order in which there is a definite authority acting as the ultimate source of power. B. Its authority is unlimited. It may act wisely or unwisely, honestly or dishonestly, ethically or unethically, for the purpose of legal theory. The character of the state is unimportant. C. Command is the essential of sovereignty. Sovereignty is absolute, all-comprehensive, permanent, exclusive, inalienable, and indivisible element of the state. Political sovereignty. Whereas Hobbes was the profounder of legal sovereignty, which was further clarified by Austin, John Locke's name in association with political sovereignty. In his book, Locke talks about three powers. 1. Authority of the civil society, which is the ultimate authority. 2. Authority of the legislature, because people elect the legislature. 3. Associated with legislature, the authority of the executive. Page 27. According to Locke, sovereignty lies with the government, but behind it and above it is the ultimate power of the civil society. That means that sovereignty is of two kinds, one of the government and the other of the people, but both sovereigns do not function simultaneously. In ordinary circumstances, the sovereignty is exercised by the government. So long as government behaves normally, the sovereignty of the people lies dormant. But once the people realize that the representatives are misusing the authority of the trust posed in them, they can exercise that authority and can bring a change in the government. By providing the concept of political sovereignty, Locke justified that theoretical basis of glorious revolution that ultimately accepts the fact that it is the people who are sovereign. Legislature is sovereign in the legislative process, and representatives of the people and king being a part of the legislature is supreme executive. Montesquieu also divided the powers of the government under three heads, legislative, executive, and judicial, and emphasized their separation and autonomy. In the hands of Montesquieu, the idea of sovereignty became the idea of liberty and a convenient tool to attack the absolute concept of austere. The uniqueness of these supreme powers of government and the people is clarified in the context of legal and political sovereignty. While the legal sovereignty is the supreme law-making and law-enforcing body, there is, behind it, the will of the people, which is the ultimate and final source of all authority. Popular sovereignty. The idea of political sovereignty was converted into popular sovereignty by Rousseau. According to him, sovereignty means that people are the ultimate source of all power. In the political theory of Rousseau, people is a geographical category. Both state and the sovereignty of the state are part of the people. People is able to govern itself. The quality of the people governing itself is expressed by Rousseau in his concept of general will, that is, a particularly expressed by Rousseau in his concept of general will, i.e., a particular society comes into existence only when it has some universally accepted principles of justice. Page 28. These principles of justice are sovereignty. The individual of the people, in his personal capacity, while sharing sovereignty, is citizen, and while obeying the laws, is subject. The civil society is a public personality, it is moral and a collective institution, which, while passive, is state, while active, is sovereign, and in relation to others, is power. The general will is sovereign, being the repository of common good. It only can give ultimate commands. Being a part of general will, it is inalienable and indivisible. According to Rousseau, sovereignty means three things. 1. Individual can attain his personality and freedom only by following the general will. 2. Real will is the general will. 3. General will is the state. The theory of popular sovereignty is very attractive because it gives all power to the people. The voice of the people is considered as voice of God. But the difficulty is in defining what is people. Does it mean the intermediate, indeterminate mass of the population, or does it mean the electorate? However, the notion of popular sovereignty does contain valuable information which is relevant in modern democracies and welfare state. In brief, they are 1. Government does not exist for its own good, it exists for the good of the people. 2. If people's wishes are deliberately violated, there is possibility of revolt. 3. Easy means should be provided for the legal way of expressing public opinion. 4. Government should be held directly responsible to the people through means such as frequent election, local self-government, referendum, initiative, recall, etc. 5. Government should exercise its authority directly in accordance with the laws of the land and not act arbitrarily. These are, in fact, some of the major theories of sovereignty which are important in the current context. 2.4. Pluralism, meaning and growth. So far, you have, as a student, read and perhaps understood the background for the growth of pluralism. It is therefore important to understand the fact that pluralism, as a political thought, grew basically out of the dominating theory of sovereignty. Several factors, such as the changing times, new ways of socioeconomic development, rise in the facilities such as transportation and communication, have contributed to these changes. Page 29. Enlightenment in the society once sets in, especially if it is in transitory process during that time, it invariably picks up new ideas and sought to develop itself. Such changes, once set in a society, it is but natural to expect certain challenges to existing authority. It was this tone of ideas that one notices in the 19th century, when the voices vociferously said that the state was one among the many the main associations that were functional in a society and not only associational. Similar was the argument of those who went out to say that the laws in any society was actually the manifestation of some total of social concerns expressed in the form of traditional customs or practices. It was these customs, traditions, practice, which in a way controlled the behavior of individuals in a society, and restricting anarchic situations, might as right was thus controlled by these age-old systems of rules and regulations, which every member of a particular group obediently followed. It is in the light of this argument that sovereign power was challenged by those who disagreed with the view that law is not the will of sovereign. It was their contention that law was existing much before the sovereign, and that were put in a different frame as time passed by. In these arguments, one notices that growth of pluralism and as a voice oppressing the theory of sovereignty. It is these voices of dissent that argued further to state that the sovereignty theories do not hold good in the context of a state being in the international situation. They were of the opinion that state could be a sovereign only inside a territory, so long as there were no voices of dissent or revolt. However, the same cannot be true if the state were to assume its sovereign power in the context of other nations. The other nations might or might not respect this attitude of the so-called state, thus undermining and sidelining the superiority of state its monopoly. That apart, the arguments of pluralists were in favor of demolishing the age-old ideas of omnipotent state, and therefore their argument at all levels were packed with criticisms. Thus, if one observes the background for the emergence of pluralism, one would see it as a deliberate attempt at weakening the theory of sovereignty, both in its historical and local content. Page 30. Meaning. Since pluralism emerged as a new political thought, many writers belonging to different disciplines had contributed to its emergence. More important of them are political sociologists and historians. Therefore, in order to understand the meaning of the word pluralism, it is better that we understand the definition of this and draw the essence of it later. Lindsay, for example, argued that the state is only one of the many associations and organizations which possess corporate personality and the will of their own. Similarly, Mackay argued that the difference between the state and the other associations is that the other associations are voluntary and they lack the instrument of ultimate coercion. Thus, a survey of the varied expressions about defining pluralism gives an impression that it is opposed to the sovereign supremacy. While acknowledging its power and other manifestations, pluralism carries a meaning that it is one of the viewpoints that define sovereignty, connoting with it a new wave of thought, a new political theory, and a distinct expression of a more liberated society. Growth. Pluralism and the pluralist theory of sovereignty had its origin in the writings of German writer Gierke and an English writer Maitland in the last quarter of the 19th century, and were developed by Figgis, Sidney Webb, Lindsay, Duigert, Crabbe, Barker, Lasky, McIver, etc. The writers criticized the traditional theory of sovereignty mainly on three grounds, namely, 1. State is only one form of association among the many existing in the society. 2. Law is not the product of sovereignty. And 3. State is not sovereign in the international relations. In their attack upon the theory of legal sovereignty, the pluralists contended that apart from the state, there are other essential associations of the society. Man's social nature finds expression in numerous groupings, pursuing various and diverse ends, religious, social, economic, professional, and cultural. These interests are fulfilled through various groups and associations like church, family, party, business, firm, market, etc. These associations arise spontaneously and naturally as their essential functions of the society are independent of state determination.
Page 31. These groups exist prior to the state. The pluralist maintains that these associations should have functional freedom and the state is but one among the many associations. Hence, these argue for a system which would recognize the complete autonomy of such association. On the whole, the pluralist advocated the autonomy and freedom of the varied groups and associations, professional, political, economic, religious, educational, etc., and pleaded for the limitations of the state sovereignty. It is in the light of this plea that the rise of pluralism is seen and understood. Check your progress 1. Note 1. Use the space given below for your answer. Note 2. Also check your answers with the clue given at the end of the unit. 1. Examine the circumstances leading to the growth of pluralism. 2.5. Lasky's view on pluralism. Harold J. Lasky is one of the most important advocates of pluralist theory of sovereignty. He played an important part in the formulation of the pluralist theory in the early years of his career. His formulation implied a complete reversal of the classical political tradition based upon the monistic theory of sovereignty. According to Lasky, Austin's theory of sovereignty, which is internally supreme, which issues order to all men and all associations within a fixed territory, and which is subject to no legal limitations, needs a critical analysis from three points of view: historical, legal, and political. On historical basis, Lasky points out that state and the sovereignty of the state were the result of the religious struggles of the 16th century when the state became incarnate in the prince. Page 32. The sovereign state emerged to vindicate the supremacy of the secular order against religious claims. The atmosphere in which sovereignty was born was the period of crisis. It was in the period of disintegration that Bodin and Hobbes felt that if the state is to live, there must be in every organized political community some definite authority which should command universal obedience, and that allegiance might be secured if legal superiority was vested in the sovereign organ. The principle of the sovereign state was thus represent a historical and not a legal fact. The sovereignty emerged at a particular juncture of history to fulfill certain needs of the time. On the other hand, any study of the working of the state will be compelled to concern itself with the history of limitations upon the exercise of power. The absolute state has never become permanent. Sovereignty has always been historically conditioned by the environment it encountered. It is successful only when it is responsible. The legal sovereignty is wrong so long as it defines the concept as unlimited and irresponsible. From the legal point of view, Lasky does not agree that the state is purely a legal order, that its authority is unlimited and command is the essence of law. He writes that the modern state is engaged in works which cannot be reduced to command. No organization has, in fact, unlimited force and sovereignty and is compelled to will things desired by bodies in law inferior to itself. Now here, the sovereignty has unlimited power and all attempts to assert have resulted in the establishment of safeguards. Even the Sultan and Turkey was bound by a code of conduct of traditional observance, obedience to which was compulsory. To think of law as only command is to strain the definition to the verge of decency. Law has the character of uniformity in which command is put out of sight. As the society becomes organized, the sovereignty becomes little more than a machine for registering the decisions arrived at elsewhere. Moreover, the discovery of sovereignty is in a federal state is as impossible adventure. In short, Austin's sovereignty is difficult to find because it postulates for the sovereign the possession of qualities which cannot in fact be exercised.
Politically unlimited power is now here existent. Attention has always to be paid to a number of verifying influences which go to shape the nature of the sovereign will. For practical purposes, the will of the state is the will which determines the boundaries within which other will must live. The will of the state is that government has that will is accepted by the citizens over whom it rules. Hence, the will of the state cannot be irresponsible, nor the state has permanent right to power. Every government must submit itself to the judgment of those who feel the consequences of its acts. Page 33. Almost all pluralist writers have made a clear distinction between state and society, their functions and nature. They point out diversity and complexity of the social life, which according to them need not, must and must not be controlled by the single command of the sovereign. The nature, functions and organizations of the society are different from that of the state. Lascaux writes that the state does not set out to compass the whole range of the human activities. There is a difference between state and society. The state may set the keynote of the social order, but it is not identical with it, nor does it exhaust the associative impulse of the man. It is only through the expressions of oneself, through the social institutions, that man's life finds creative satisfaction. To give expressions to the various impulses and to fulfill the purpose which are common, man builds associations like family, religion, culture, etc. These associations support and imply functions. An association is an attempt to advance some interest and has a function to serve. The state does not call it into being. It is not depends upon the state. It grows as a natural response to the environment. It has a personality of its own and enable members to find channels of satisfied activity which would be absent otherwise. Associations like family, church, business, firm, trade union, political party, friendly societies, golf club, research bodies, and instances of their place in the society. Such associations, writes Lascaux, evoke a loyalty which goes down to the very root of man. The only difference between the state and other associations is that the associations are voluntary. They lack the instrument of ultimate corrections. The authority of an association is based upon the living and spontaneous trust it can command. Loyalty is won and not imposed.
Page 34. Check your progress to Note 1. Use the space given below for your answer. Note 2. Also check your answer with the clue given at the end of the unit. 1. Evaluate the views of Lascaux on pluralism. 2.6. McIver's views on pluralism. According to McIver, Austin and other supporters of legal theory of sovereignty has interpreted sovereignty as an extreme master-servant relationship. Their account is more applicable in a slave plantation than to actual political life. In political sphere, the grades of sovereignty corresponds to the form of control. More obedience, coercion, and penalization are not adequate description of sovereignty. He writes, sovereignty is not simple final power, free and unconditional over human beings as the will of an overruling God. On the other hand, it is an exercise of a function limited and dependent upon the function. It is an attribute of an association and no more absolute than the association itself. McIver complains that the theory of state has too long been dominated by the legal sovereignty. The legal theory, according to him, is too formal legally that state may be unlimited, but it doesn't make it absolute. Political law is only one form of regulation, and the state is only one organ of the community. Again, the problem with legal doctrine is that it talks of power and not in terms of service. Power is only an instrument of service. It is only the ability to serve that counts. No one regards the service of the state as unlimited, and hence the conception of the unlimited sovereignty is dangerously false. Considering the state as an organ of the community, McIver writes that the state commands only because it serves. It owns because it owns. It creates rights as an agent of the society. The servant is not greater than the master. To exercise the function, the state needs and receives certain powers. These powers should be limited because the functions are limited.
Page 35.
According to McIver, during the 20th century, the nature of both state and sovereignty has changed. Now the emphasis is on limited and relative character of sovereignty. This doctrine is the result of the triumph of democracy. In today's industrial society, real power is exercised by numerous associations in the society, which has confounded the idea of a single, all-comprehensive authority. We have arrived in an age when the sovereign power is told what it may or may not do. It is so instructed in the constitution of every modern state. Moreover, the limits of the sovereign power are very much marked in a federal state. Thus, McIver concludes that the principle of sovereign power cannot be studied in the old terms, and a new concept of sovereignty is called for. This in itself is represented as the pluralist thought. Check your progress 3. Note 1. Use the space given below for your answer. Note 2. Also check your answer with the clue given at the end of the unit. 1. Write a summary of the pluralism political thought. 2.7. Let us sum up. Well, dear students, you have so far read and understood the concept of pluralism, its meaning and growth, including specific critique of sovereignty by Lasky and McIver. All this gives you a clear picture of what pluralism is all about. Let us therefore sum it up. Pluralism is basically a point of view that discusses and disowns the theory of sovereign supremacy. It has originated in the middle centuries, matching the time of the decline of monarchy. It assumes that state is one of the many associations in the society for the welfare of the citizen with certain extra powers. They would like the state to therefore limit itself while dealing with the society. This political thought coincides the growth of democracy and liberated societies. Hence the expression, one among equals, to recognize state but not necessarily attributing it with large powers. This is basically a realistic approach to understand state as against its glorification.
Page 36.
Difficult words. Multicultured, meaning many culture. Distinguish, meaning characterize. Feudal, mean landlord. Universal, mean general. Advocate, upholder. 2.9. Some useful books. Harold Lasky, The Problem of Sovereignty, London, 1917. Hesse K.S., Political Pluralism, A Study in Comparative Political Theory, London, Kegan Paul, 1927. Lord Brace, The Nature of Sovereignty in Studies in Jurisprudence and History, 1946, Volume 1. David Nichols, Three Varieties of Pluralism, Macmillan, 1974, London. 2.10. Answers to check your progress. Check your progress 1. See section 2.4. Check your progress 2. See section 2.5. Check your progress 3. See section 2.3, 2.4 and 2.7.